So between now and at the latest 5:30, we'd like to have some further fellowship, including some practical fellowship with all of us regarding our implementation, if you will, of the burden from this weekend. So this weekend, we actually cover two matters which are fused together. One is prayer, and the other is God's move. And these two things, as we have said, are they cannot be separated. Where only when there's prayer, there is God's move. There's no independent move of God without his people's prayer. And the successful move of God depends on the prayer of his people. And so we talk about this. Now, before I get into some practical fellowship concerning how we're going to go forward after this weekend, I like to say something about God's move. We know by now that in God's economy, in his move, it is as seen in Ezekiel 1, likened to a great wheel, a great and awesome wheel. A colossal wheel, the divine move of God. We know the spoke is, or rather the hub is Christ, the rim is the church, the spokes are the saints, etc. That means God's move is fully with Christ and the church and all of his saints. This move has been there, actually, since the beginning, this wheel. God's move actually is from eternity to eternity. And we don't know what is the past eternity, what it looks like. But we have some idea what the future eternity, and that would be the new heaven and new earth with the new Jerusalem, where God would be, his expression would be, he would have his ultimate expression, and his enemy would be fully defeated. Now, what I want to talk about a little bit this afternoon is that this move of God is in stages or in ages. Perhaps last year in this conference, I mentioned this already. We talk about renewal, we talk about revival, we talk about restoration, all of which are the needs of God's people to fulfill God's purpose. But I like to say this, whether it's renewal, whether it's revival, or whether it is restoration, it is a process of God to make a new creation out of the old. And God uses all the ages to do just that, both Old and New Testament, even the Old Testament. So loosely you have the age before the law, then you have the age of the law, and then you have our age, which is the age of grace or the age of the church, or some people call it the age of mystery. And then finally, there would be one more age, and that would be the age of the kingdom, the 1,000 years that is to come. And after that, time will be no more, and there would be the coming of a new heaven and a new earth. So all these four stages are what God used to bring forth a new creation out of the old. Out of the old. Therefore, renewal is a continuous thing. It is something that God is doing in every age to renew and to revive. Renew because we have become old again. We've become dead. So there needs to be a renewal. Revival because we have become sleepy. We have become tired. We have become weak. So there is a kind of revival needed. And restoration because something has been broken. There needs to be a restoration. So my point is this, brothers and sisters, is that God, this wheel rolls on, or God's move goes on according to ages. In fact, it rolls from age to age. You see, when you go to a new age, that is this wheel moving forward. Now, I like to say something this afternoon, and that is, not only we have these major ages, or the brethren call them the dispensations. God deals with his people, you know, in a dispensation in a particular way, okay? But within a certain dispensation, or within a certain age, there's also what? Sub-ages, if I may use that word. That there are stages of his move even in an age. So, for example, we're in the age of the church, 2,000 years now. It started with the first group of apostles, am I right? With Paul and so on. But where are we today in that age? Are we at the time of Paul? No, am I right? That's 2,000 years ago. And following Paul, of course, there was a great degradation, and 500 years ago, there was a what? A recovery began. And that was through Martin Luther, so forth. That was the wheel turning. That was God's economy in that age to recover justification by faith, etc., out of the Catholic Church. I like to ask, are we there? No, we're not. We're 500 years beyond that time. We are not in the same move at that time. God had a move at that time with his servants at that time, you see, and with his way. We're not there. He's gone on. And in this last 500 years, that wheel has proceeded. On and on until now, we are not only at the end of the 20 centuries, we have actually begun the 21st century. So, what we need to do as people living in this particular time and this particular age is, what is God doing today? We need to find that out. Otherwise, we will not know how to live. We will not know how to serve. We would not know what is our present commission. We would not know how to cooperate with God, frankly, because we don't even know what he's doing. You see the point? So in all the ages, you do have these ones who became the age turners. You know, many, all of these that we mentioned in these two last two meetings, these figures, They were not ignorant. They live in that age, but they were not ignorant. Look at Daniel. He read the Bible. Am I right? He looked at the Babylonian situation and he concluded 70 years is over. That age is over. There has to be an age of return where Jehovah will shine his face on the sanctuary. In other words, the city will be rebuilt. The temple will be rebuilt. So based on that knowledge, he prayed. He didn't just pray, "Oh Lord, have mercy, oh Lord." No, he prayed with a view. He prayed with the knowledge of God. He prayed according to God's promise of what he will do, according to prophecy. And that prayer became effectual. That prayer caused things to happen. And that is what we call the prayer of the age. And this weekend, what we are here concerning ourselves with, I said already, are not the common prayers, which are good and necessary. You know, the prayers that is for our Christian life, the prayer that is for our Christian growth, the prayer that is for just our fellowship with the Lord, and so on. These are necessary prayers, and we need to keep that up. But the burden this weekend is quite specific. It is another dimension. It is another level of prayer that we feel the Lord has to lead his church into in these days. Not that we have no experience of that, but we mean in a what? In a more encompassing way. This relates to his move on the earth. This relates to his move in his recovery. This has to do with his move in this country, USA, because we're here. And this has to do with Northern California, where we are, to be practical. So we need to know. We need to know. Now, in the Bible, God has a certain principle of working in the whole creation, a law. And that law is that he does things in the natural realm according to times and according to seasons. That's how he set it up in Genesis 1. In Genesis 1, it is... He said what? He said, "Let there be light." Light bearers, you know, these heavenly bodies in the expanse of the heaven to separate the day from the night. We know the moon, right? We know the sun, the day and the night. Let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. That's how God created this earth, this creation. And these seasons, these days, these years, are there for a purpose. Am I right? They're not just there to be there. We know. We know that. And so you have verse, like in a famous verse like in Ecclesiastes, it says, for everything, there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven. There's a purpose for every season, seasonal change. A time for this, a time for that, I won't get into that. There's a time for something. A time to die, it says, and a time to live, a time to be sick, a time to be healed, a time to sow seed, a time to harvest. You know, that passage there. There's a time for certain things to happen. So, in Acts 1:7, the Lord told these disciples who asked him, when will Israel be restored? You know, when will our kingdom be restored? The Lord said to him, it is not for you to know But he says this, to know the times and seasons which the Father has set by his own authority. These times and seasons in the spiritual realm now is something set by the Father, ordained by the Father, by his own authority. My point, brothers and sisters, there are seasons. There are times in the Lord's move, in an age in which God moves. There are seasonal changes. There are springs and there are winters. There's sowing time, there's reaping time. Now we need to find out from the Lord just what season we're in. What times are these? Well, even the Lord say, I don't know what, but what he was saying, he meant, that refers to his coming back, right? His return to set up his kingdom on the earth. That no one knows except the Father. That is true. But at least from this, we can tell that God does things by seasonally and by times. History proves that. And the scriptures also prove this. I mentioned to the brothers, because it's so impressive, that in 1962, when Brother Lee came and stayed in Los Angeles to begin the work of the recovery and his ministry, he gave the first conference called The All-Inclusive Christ. And we have the book there. What most of us do not know, and it was told to us by those who were there. There's a brother named Jim Ritzky, Sr. He is an elderly brother who is there in Chicago, right? I just mentioned he because he was there and some others. What we don't know is that besides the conference messages that were given, it was in Brother Samuel Chang's house, that there were in between times where Brother Lee just sat with the saints and just talked to them. Now, just remember, Brother Lee was very, very fresh at that time with feelings, because the Lord had just led him to not return to the Far East and stay in this country. And after, I don't know how long, a time of struggle there in Seattle, he relented and he stayed. So I have to believe, knowing Brother Lee, it was not only the Spirit's prompting, it is not only the Lord's leading, he must have already certain view of the world situation and the situation of the Lord's recovery. I have to believe this. I believe this. So what he is realizing, you may say, that another season is coming. Another time is coming. This seasonal change is great that caused the ministry, this recovery's ministry, to leave the Far East where it originated, to come to America of all places. You know, this worldly America, which Brother Lee would never come to, but it was America that the Lord chose. So he had a lot of feeling. That's the time when he talked, my understanding, about the Pacific Century versus the Atlantic. Do you know this? You know, for centuries, it's all the Atlantic, you know, between U.S. and Europe. He predicted, if you will, a turn to the Pacific Century, and we're in that. You all have to agree. Am I right? The major two economic powers, number one and number two, is U.S. and China. separated by the Pacific. That's the Pacific Century. Now here is one word that Brother Lee used to speak to the saints, and that is from Jeremiah 8:7. It says, even the stork, you know, the bird, huh, in the sky knows its appointed times. And the turtle dove and the swallow and the crane keep the time of their coming. But my people do not know the ordinance of Jehovah. He's saying even the birds, these particular birds, they know the time. They know the seasonal change. They migrate according to the seasons. Even they know what to do, but my people have no idea. They have no idea what's going on. That's the point. And Brother Lee quoted this verse to talk about 1962, the times, why he came here. He gave those messages called the Divine Stream. You know that? You know that book called The Divine Stream? And that was given right after this conference. And if you read The Divine Stream, right there he is talking, tracing the Lord's move from among us in China all the way to this gigantic stride to jump to this country. I mentioned to the brothers something quite interesting to me. Maybe I'm too much in my mind, maybe. But this flow of the Lord's recovery for centuries were in Europe. In Europe. If you count from Martin Luther until the Brethren, you know, in the late 1800s and all the others, it's 400 years. 400 years. Then listen, overnight, that flow, that current of the Spirit went to China. It did. Now, let's look at this. It went to China, and it began in 1921. That's exactly 94 years ago. You know, six more years, it will be 100. Centennial, you know what I mean, of the Lord's recovery. Now, am I right? Yes, I think I'm correct. Barely 40 years. Listen, this is not centuries. 40 years later, 30 years in the mainland, 10 years in Taiwan, barely 40 years. It is almost as if the Lord could not wait to once again pivot and turn this flow back to the West. And not to Europe, sorry, not to England, but to this land, the United States. Now, none of us should think that is happenstance. That is just, things just happen. Well, by now, in reading these scriptures, by all the things we talk about, we know that all these things are foreordained by God in His authority. And what we need to do is to trace that, trace God's footsteps. And from those footsteps, begin to realize where God is going and how He is moving. And so here we are, brothers and sisters, from 1962 to now is 53 years ago. But here I am in Northern California. We should date it back to 1958, Jim. Not 62, because that's when Brother Lee first landed here, church in San Francisco. So it is what? It is now 57 years already in this area. We know what he did in these 57 years. Many of us witnessed that. We were part of that. Thank him. But my point is, what is he doing today? And where is the Lord going? Without that, we don't know how to cooperate with him. Well, I'm not a prophet. I don't claim to know, assume to know, you know, what the Lord is going to do next or how this world will change. I don't know. Right? But in principle, we know this much, that God does not stop, that God is still seeking to progress, that the Lord's recovery is progressive. It doesn't stay in the same place. And now Brother Lee is gone, right? For how many years? Almost 20 years, 17 years, or whatever. Where is the recovery going? Well, again, I don't purport to know, but there is just a kind of a observation that today, the Lord's recovery has spread to the whole earth, right? All the five continents. So the Lord is moving, still in his recovery. We also know that what? That this country, this nation, United States, has not been abandoned by him, has not become useless. You know what I'm saying. I'm talking about from the recovery standpoint. As far as I can tell, this country is still a main country, if not the main country, for the Lord's move to be carried out. There are many, many more saints in China, mainland, than here. One count tells us that unofficially there are over 800,000 saints in the recovery in China. Of course, that is a much bigger, much more populous country. Here, how many do we have? 30,000 saints after so many years? So, no comparison. No comparison. But if you look at the countries, you look at the political situation, if you look at all the things going on, you would have to conclude the Lord still have to have a strong and prevailing testimony and move in the USA. And this country has many areas and regions, and we're in one of them. And I would say a very important one of them. And so when Brother Lee, before he passed away, had a dream that there would be a certain revival, new revival, that would come. The revival by our arrival at the high peak of the divine revelation, a revival that is brought about by our corporate God-man living, and a revival of shepherding. Shepherding actually includes our service, our work, our practice. It's an all-inclusive word that includes teaching and cherishing and perfecting. All of this is included there. So you may say this is a word that would depict all the saints functioning in a priesthood to do the work of shepherding to build up the body. These are the three things. Of course, he did not see that. But I must say that those three things remain in us brothers until today, and we're still praying for that. And he told us this. He said, when he talked about that, he just said this, you elders, he was mainly speaking to elders and co-workers, he said, you all have to pray for this. Pray for this revival to come. So maybe it's because of that, I like to at least do my small part to transmit that burden of prayer to all of us. I believe that is a burden that cannot be borne by a few. It has to be a burden of the body. And this prayer we're talking about, is exactly the kind of prayer we're talking about this weekend. And that is a prayer for God's move today and in the coming years. So I like to spend just that little time, half of my time is gone, to again paint this picture for you about where we are today. You know, I told this Chinese who was in the other room, I said, if you don't see this, you will not know why you immigrated to the U.S. You know, they all come for the land of the opportunity. You know, they came for some, I don't know, suburban living. You know what I mean? They come for good houses. They come for children and grandchildren. Then I say, then what? Is that why you come to the U.S.? If that's why you come to the U.S., then it's a waste. Why didn't you stay back there? Why do you have to come here? That was too much. I said, the Lord let you or blew you here like wind for a reason. You're still alive, and you're in his recovery, and you're hearing this word. There's a reason, and that is we all need to what? Cooperate with the Lord for his present move. What it is, dear saints, it will unfold. Even that I do not worry so much. But at this point, this juncture, we really feel, even after this 1 year here, that it is time to release this burden of prayer. Kingdom prayer. Prayer of authority. Administrative prayer. Prayer of God's move to the saints. That at least a percentage of them will get it. And I believe many of you get it. And would enter into this ministry to cooperate him for his move today. Today. Now, let's move on now to the practice of prayer. The practice of prayer. So, we like to help us all to enter and even to build up such a kind of a prayer. Tomorrow is September the 13th, all right? And the day before the winter training in Anaheim would be, I think, December 21 or 21st. Altogether, this period is exactly 100 days. 100 days exactly. So we brothers in our fellowship felt that perhaps there would be a reason to lead the saints to use this 100 days to make them days of prayer. Days of prayer. That means every day. Every day, a day of prayer. And not just your own prayer, you know, the prayer that you pray. We're talking about this kind of prayer. You say, how do we do it? Okay, first of all, this prayer would hopefully be primarily in small groups, in a vital group kind of a way. 2, 3, 4, 5. But I think not too many. Not too many. So in the 100 days, in whatever locality you're in, you would join with a few saints. In some places, it could be husband and wife, because that's the situation. In other situations, maybe some brothers that you're close to and serve with. That's another situation. Another situation, there's some sisters who live in the same neighborhood. That's yet another situation. We don't control, and actually we're not going to arrange. But we look to all of us, and someone has, this morning says, to pioneer. Did you remember that? Someone has to lead even this prayer. And I hope those who attended this conference will be those who would take the lead to come together with a few to pray every day. Now, you can pray physically together. You can pray by the phone. No problem. Some of you can want to pray by Skype. No problem. Or Google Hangout. I don't care what you use. No problem. By the way, those prayers, they work, you know. Then you can even not be in the same place, and you can pray together. And, may I say, you don't have to just belong to one group. You can belong to two. That's up to you. It's up to your personal situation. Brothers, you work in the same building in downtown San Francisco. That's another way. So many, many ways. Now then you say, how often, how much do we pray? Also up to you. I think at least in a minimum, you should pray for 5 minutes. Don't you agree with me? Because less than that, you have hardly started, you know. The engine has hardly warmed up and you have to end. So that's not too practical. But I would say, even if you have 10 minutes, start there. Because that 10 minutes will grow to, 5 minutes will grow to 10. And 10 will be 15. And I told the saints over there, I said, prayer is highly addictive. The more you pray, the more you need to pray. Because you have touched the praying spirit. The less you pray, the less you want to pray. That's just how it works. So I really believe after these 100 days, the prayer will be quite intensified, even quite lengthened, because there's such a need. You have gotten into the burden. Now, another thing that would help you to pray in this way is a card. Where is that card? Oh, sorry. There's a card that the brothers put together, laminated, so even in the shower you can take it with you. It's a little card that we will give to you tomorrow, not tonight, because tomorrow we will have the most number of people. And this is a prayer card. It says 100 days of prayer. And on the front, there are 6 key verses that we selected from these verses on prayer and God's move printed there. It's just the word. And in the back here, there is Lord's Day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And each day, there would be a prayer subject so that you don't need to think what you need to pray. Not only so that thousands would be praying for the same thing on that same day. So God would not be confused. You're praying this, he's praying that. Okay. So this will be a help to you. And every week, you go back and pray the same again. That's like the wheel. You see, it's turning. Every week a cycle. Every week a revolution. So this prayer in these 100 days is actually a progressive prayer, a moving forward prayer. And we entreat all the saints in all the churches, all the languages, all the different age groups to enter into this. And some, they could not start tomorrow. They start a week later, no problem. Or 2 weeks later. Some who didn't have the burden, a month later, it does not matter. We're not legal about that. So here is that card that will help us all to pray. Well, to give you an idea, I'm just going to give you just a short topic of each day. Lord's Day, that's tomorrow. You pray for the United States. And there'll be something here. Monday, you pray for Northern California. You know, you're zeroing in. Tuesday, you pray for the local churches in this area, in Northern Cal. And there's some description. Wednesday, we'd like you to pray for the young working saints. How about that? They are really the next group that should bear the main burden of the Lord. And since our recent census, Don, is 50 and above, maybe we should call this not just young working saints, but simply working saints from 25 to 50. They're still young, right? 50 is still young. 50 is the new 40. So they make it. All right. Very important to pray for this group. They are the waste. Thursday, that day we'll pray for full-timers. Not only the present, but upcoming ones. We're burdened, out of so many saints here, we should have over 100 full-timers on the campuses, in the community, in the days to come. We have to pray for them. Friday, pray for saints of all ages. You know, Ephesians, it says, by means of all prayer, praying for the saints. This is Ephesians 6. Saints of all ages, all conditions, all situations, sisters, seniors, youngsters, all kinds. Saturday, we call it, pray for your personal Jerusalem. That means your families, your relatives, your colleagues, your neighbors, your gospel contacts and friends, classmates, and so on. You just imagine in 100 days, we would be praying for this nonstop. Now, your prayer, maybe just 15 minutes, but you add it all up together, it will be hundreds of hours per day. Before God. Do you like this, saints? Amen. This is a handle. This is a real help. And this also calls all the churches to join together doing the same thing. I think this will be quite powerful before God. All right? So this is what we will do. Then you say, what after the 100 days? Well, I will tell you, number one, you won't stop praying. Maybe you will not practice exactly as this, but the hope is there's certain praying muscles built up, praying burden built up, that in the churches there's just an atmosphere of prayer for God's move. And I believe something will happen in Northern California in the coming days. Much will happen from this prayer that caused the rim to turn. gospel in the saints' growth in life, in the meeting lives of the church, in the shepherding, in the services, all in all, in the testimony of Jesus in this area, in the local churches, will become prevailing. There would be growth in numbers. There would be growth in life. Amen?
Amen.
Now, we have about 2,000, what is it, Don? 600. It's still not complete. If you complete, I think you have five churches missing. Four churches missing. If you add them together, it's over 2,600. Maybe between 2,600 and 2,700. And they counted 800 or more are 50 and above. That's about a third. I did my math this afternoon. About a third, 32%. And the number of the so-called young working saints now actually is working saints. It was a year ago about 700 or 800, but if you call them working saints now to 50, it's more than that. It's over 1,000. All right? Then there would be another contingent. That would be those younger than 25, college age, even high schoolers. Don't think high schoolers cannot participate in this prayer. Don't think that. So you add them together, we would have this 26 or 2700. Now, we of course know that not all will pray in this way. Not all. But listen, if just 50%, 50%, that is how many? That is 1,300 brothers and sisters will pray. We'll pray in this way. Now, you think about the power. Now, even right now, I will tell you. In Acts 1, how many were praying there? It's not 1,200, it's 120. How many days they pray? Not 100 days, 10 days. That brought in the Pentecost. Of course, it was ordained by God at that season, at that time, for the Spirit to come and the first church to emerge. Yes, but without their prayer, it would not have happened. It may have been even delayed, Pentecost, if there was not those men and women, it says, including the women, praying for those 10 days. Now, I'm not saying a Pentecost will fall down after this 100 days, but I really believe sincerely that this should contribute to the coming of a new revival. And this will contribute towards God's new move, a renewed move in the U.S. and particularly in Northern California. Then we're not just hearing four messages this weekend and being inspired and writing down some notes, which we soon forget. We're giving ourselves the wheels, the handle to move. And don't think God's move is we all run out of here and do something. That may come. I tell you, the first most important activity, spiritual activity in God's move is prayer. You may say, oh, 100 days, nothing happened. No, no. Let me tell you, in the spiritual realm, a lot has happened. Those prayer, every single prayer will count. And also, all of us will be much more edified after these 100 days in the service and ministry of prayer. You may not pray so well in the early days, but by those final 100 days, I believe you may become half of an expert. You will know how to touch the anointing. You will know how to, you know what I mean, pray according to the prayer like Elijah? I hope so. So this is 520. I think that's good enough, and that's the burden that I have. Will you pioneer, brothers and sisters?
Amen.
You may say, oh, 100 days. Oh, that's too long. I don't think so. The Moravians pray for 100 years. I stop here.